Welcome, 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 everybody! It's been a minute. It has surely been a minute since I've shot a podcast. Well, lots have happened in my life. A lot of things, you know what I mean? Well, you know, when we started this journey, we were in the Marine Corps, you know, just getting out, just transitioning out of the Marine Corps. Wow, what an experience it has been. From the moment that they handed me that DD-214 to now, hasn't been a wonderful experience. Hasn't been the most rewarding, but it has been an experience. Wow. One of my famous little quotes that I say that my friend, she tells me or others tell me, hey, it ain't that bad, man. Hey, you know, it isn't that bad. When you always think that you have it bad, other people have it 10 times worse than you. But one of the experiences and one of the quotes that I always say is, wow, what a day, what a month, what a year. What a decade it has been. Because, wow, each and every day is different. It may be routinely the same, but each and every day is different. Each and every month is different. Each and every year is different. Each and every decade is sure going to be different. Well, back to what else has happened since the Marine Corps. Well, let's see. Where do we start? Well, before the Marine Corps was going on, I was avidly, hardcore pushing to get into the law enforcement industry. Law enforcement, you ask? Why? Why do I want to get into law enforcement? Well, law enforcement is something that I've really enjoyed. Being able to have the ability not only to enforce the rules. So, in law enforcement terms, they have this thing called spirit of the law, letter of the law. Well, spirit of the law says, what does your heart, what does your mind, what does your emotional state tell you about that actual law itself? Okay? Letter of the law says, what does it say actually? If you were to open up a textbook or you were actually open up a law book, what does it actually say inside of that? So, with that being said, as I see this person right here looking at me, talking to myself, but hey, sir, I'm shooting a podcast. Anyways, anywho, what my sister always says, well, what does it do? Well, if you're asking, what the letter of the law actually does is if you were to look into a law book, you would actually open it up and you would see exactly what does the law say itself? What has the state, the federal government, what has the whole entire world, or what has the government itself passed to say that this actually is a law and this right here is what is going to be enforced to all people. Now, with that being said, the letter of the law and the spirit of the law, I've always found myself the kind of person who, yes, I want to enforce the letter of the law, but however, I feel more comfortable enforcing the spirit of the law. If it feels bad, if it makes you look bad, if it's going to influence others or it's going to jeopardize the safety or I should say the lives of others, then that's when I have to enforce the letter of the law. But if it feels bad, it looks bad, come on now. Perception is reality sometimes in certain people's minds. So with that being said, you should be able to feel it out and know, okay, I shouldn't be doing this. So with that being said, law enforcement is something that I've always enjoyed. I enjoy not necessarily the uniform. Uniform's nice. But however, being able to educate people on the laws, that way, one, they make better decisions in their community. Constantly in the world, we always hear people fighting or arguing or bickering or something's going on because of the way the laws are. Oh, they're trying to take my guns. Oh, they're trying to censor my rights. They're trying to tell me I can't do this, I can't do that. However, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So there's consequences to every single action that we decide to take each and every single day in life. So there's a reason why those laws are probably made. Don't always agree with them, but however, there's a reason why. So I find myself always wanting to be that person who educates people on the law, as well as myself, being able to know exactly what my rights are and how I fit in the whole spectrum when it comes to laws. Now, law enforcement is something I definitely thought about. When I was younger, maybe in, I think it was, I would say first, maybe second grade, I was interested in being the police officer, wearing that uniform and everything from there. As I grow older, I started to learn more about the different avenues when it comes to law enforcement as well. As you got the huge, you have the Secret Service, you have Homeland Security, you have the Department of the State, as well as you have Customs and Border Protection, as well as the Border Patrol. Coming down, you have the FBI, the CIA, the DEA, and then you revenue down from there, and you have so many different avenues when it comes to this whole big old spectrum of law enforcement, or I should say, law itself. So with that being said, as I did my research, I started to develop my mind and start thinking, okay, where in this whole entire umbrella do I want to fit into? And as time went on, I decided I felt more comfortable and felt more of a drive to want to go and do DEA. DEA, if you guys don't know, stands for the Drug Enforcement Administration. They've been around since, I believe, okay, don't quote me on this, since the 1940s. So with that being said, since they've been around for that long, obviously, they've not been around for many years, but however, they've made a huge impact. Their main priority, their main principles, I should say, is to, one, to control the drug trade, as well as for all drugs that is illegally smuggled into the United States, internationally and domestic, as well as to be able to educate people on drug abuse as well, and be an advocate for those people so that way they can be able to get rehabilitation help and be able to use the legal drugs properly and not try to distribute, sell, or solicit the use of illegal drugs. Some of those illegal drugs that you mentioned are no longer weed. Weed is no longer illegal. However, it just depends on the quantity and the quality of how much weed you do have, because there is a certain amount of weed that you can have in your possession. So, with that being said, that you can legally buy it. And certain states are still making it illegal to be able to buy that controlled substance. Now, the illegal drugs that we speak of, obviously, opioids, heroin, all of those different things. Flocka, when it comes to PCP, it comes to ecstasy, it comes to prescription drugs like the Oxycontins, the Percocets, all of those different things, Molly, and then crack cocaine. You have to think about the illegal substance that goes on and on and on. There's so many different avenues when it comes to drugs itself. But with that being said, I found myself more connected with that avenue right there. So, fast forwarding to everything that I just mentioned, let's go ahead and break it down on how my life has fitted into all of that. Well, I constantly try to apply for different law enforcement. I started with, I think, San Diego Police, San Diego Sheriffs. I was not successful on passing those written tests multiple times. Then we go to Los Angeles Sheriff. I was successful passing the physical fitness test, the written test, and structured interview, and everything. But however, when it got down to the polygraph, this is where it gets a little sketchy. Well, during the time when you have an interview with your background investigator, what they do is they sit down with you for a couple hours and they go through all of the information that you provided on the paper, on your pre-employment screening checklist. Basically, all of those things. Have you ever been in trouble? Have you ever gotten in trouble with the law? Have you ever used drugs? And blah, 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 prostitution, all those different things. Well, myself, you know, I've been good. I haven't smoked any weed ever. You know, I don't smoke, drink, or do anything illegally. But however, in the past, I was falsely accused of something, and I was dishonest when I was talking to my background investigator. I told him all details about it. However, I just didn't tell him that this incident did not happen. I told him it did not happen, but however, he felt that I was dishonest with him. So when I went into the polygraph, he asks me, "Hey, well, what happened?" So of course, he makes you feel comfortable. And the reason why they make you feel comfortable is because they want you to spill out more information that you were not honest with your background investigator. So with that being said, when I got in there, he says, "Well, what happened more? Tell me more about this incident." It's okay. You don't have to tell. I know you didn't tell him, but just tell me more. So that's when you start saying, "Oh, well, you know." And he's, "Oh, that's not too bad at all. That's not bad at all." Well, that's where you're wrong. Okay. If you ever take a polygraph, the information that you tell your background investigator is the information that you yourself must tell your polygraph examiner. You must tell him the exact same thing. So if you didn't kill somebody, that's the same thing you need to be telling the other person when you take that polygraph. I didn't kill nobody. And stick with that answer. Don't try to second guess yourself. Don't try to sit here and divulge information, because that is when you would disqualify yourself, and then the test will be ended right there. So with that being said, he ended it from there. A couple weeks later, I get that wonderful piece of paper that you had character problems and integrity, and you didn't tell the truth, and all of these different things. So that's what he had put on a piece of paper. Was it true? No, it was not true. I was honest with him completely. I just told him a tad bit more information, and he felt that I was being dishonest. So with that being said, I was disqualified from Los Angeles Sheriff's. Now, if you're familiar with the whole hiring process when it comes to law enforcement, what happens is it causes a snowball effect. That snowball effect, what I speak of, is whenever you're trying to apply for other law enforcement agencies, they're going to ask you, "Have you applied for any other law enforcement agencies?" Now you can be a smart aleck, okay, and you can think you're going to get away with it and not say anything at all, which is smart. But however, it's the reason that they ask you for that is because they're able to be able to look up exactly whenever you've taken a polygraph, whenever you've applied for any other law enforcement. They have an ability to be able to reach out and find out from all avenues whether or not you have actually applied for any other law enforcement agency. So, with that being said, I was able to see that, hey, I did apply at other law enforcement agencies, so I was honest right off the jump. So when I applied for a different one, when I applied for Riverside County Sheriff, I passed the written. Woo! I was good. Passed the physical, kicked my butt, but I was good. And then when it got down to me coming up and doing the background investigator, because I was disqualified from Los Angeles Sheriff's, I believe that was the contributing factor that allowed them to be able to make the decision whether or not they wanted to hire me or further on with the background investigation. So with that being said, they ended up disqualifying me from Riverside Sheriff's. Now, fast forward, I had a week, couple weeks before that, I had applied for San Bernardino Sheriff's. I passed the written test. Woohoo! Bam. I passed the physical fitness test. Boom, bam. And as I'm at the physical fitness test, as you're going through each of the exercises, you're warming up, you're stretching, you're doing all kinds of different things. You're talking with your buddies, you're laughing and stuff like that. But however, a couple of the other people, the other candidates were Marines as well. So I'm talking and joking with them a little bit from there. And they felt that I wasn't taking the test seriously. As well as on the side, I was shadow boxing and jumping up and down to keep my arms loose, to keep my body warm as well, so that way I won't injure myself throughout any of the obstacle courses. So they felt that I wasn't taking the test seriously and that I was joking around. So they felt that I was had I what is it? I encompassed a lack of maturity and a lack of I guess responsibility or something, or I wasn't taking it seriously. So they, San Bernardino sheriffs, had disqualified me as well. I was like, wow, okay. So that put things in perspective that obviously you're constantly being observed, you're constantly being looked at when you're in these avenues where it's time to be able to test for all these different things. So with that being said, you must put yourself in a position where you can be successful. You cannot be assuming that, "Oh, well, I'm all right, I'm good. act however I want. No. When you're in these places where you're being observed, you're being tested, you're going to have to make sure that you do what you're supposed to do when everyone is looking, even when no one else is looking at all. So, with that being said, I'm going to have to retake that one as well, if I desire to actually apply with them as well. Santa Ana Sheriffs as well. I applied for them. I didn't pass the written test. And then, as all of those were going on, I had took a test with the Border Patrol. First time I took the written test, and the second time I took the written test, I was not successful on passing the written test. But however, I did schedule for Customs and Border Protection as well, and I missed the test, so I overslept. But however, fast forward to all of this, I had applied, and I applied for the veteran side of it. So with the veteran side, it allows a veteran to be able to apply for one of these federal jobs from there and be able to be offered a higher position due to the fact of this person being a prior veteran. Veteran meaning somebody who has honorably served inside the armed forces, whether it's for a year, whether it's 4 years or 20 or plus. But it allows a veteran to be able to apply for one of these positions. Myself, I had applied for the Customs and Border Protection as well as the Border Patrol. Everything was going well. I went through all the different avenues and everything. It was a lengthy process that it took all the way up to a year just for me to finally get a polygraph. So fast forward all the way up until this past September 11th that just passed, I was going to take the polygraph for Customs and Border Protection as well as for Border Patrol. Now, with those two things right there, I was in there. I was completely honest. I told everything I was supposed to do, whatever mistakes I had, didn't tell the other examiners or the Los Angeles sheriffs or any other polygraphs I've took. I made sure I was completely honest from there. Well, I'm in there, I'm getting hooked up, and he's like, "Oh, all right, well, you keep peeking past your threshold. There's something you're not telling me." And I'm like, "No, everything I'm telling you is completely right. Everything in there is completely what's going on. I'm not lying to you. I'm not trying to be dishonest, anything at all." So I get told at the end of the thing that I guess my levels were peaking past their threshold and that he's going to stop it because he doesn't want them. He doesn't want the machine to record any further observation and further disqualify me from being able to do it. So I was basically disqualified from Customs and Border Protection as well as Border Patrol. It hurt. Oh, don't get me wrong. Oh, it was like a punch in the chest. Oh, it hurt. But I mean, it didn't hurt as much because it's not what I truly wanted to do. As we spoke at the beginning of this podcast, what I really wanted to do was what? DEA, the Drug Enforcement Administration. That is what I really wanted to do. But however, it didn't work out from there. So, fast forward to, I took that on there. I think it's September 20th or 21st, one of the two. September 20th or 21st, I just took my test with the Drug Enforcement Administration. Written test wasn't too bad. Wasn't bad at all. Just a little paragraph as well as the video as well, which just wasn't bad at all. I took my fingerprints, took I took the structured interview, the actual questions and everything from there, as well as if you fast forward, they also almost one more thing. So your fingerprints, as well as the structured interview, as well as the written test. Oh, and then you take the psychological test, which is a written test, about 600 questions. Not too bad at all. Now, the following day, that's where they got me. Well, as a Marine, you should always be ready. You should always be ready so that way you never have to get ready. Well, after the Marine Corps and even during the Marine Corps, physical fitness has been something that I like, but I don't love it. I don't love it. It's something I do every once in a while, but I don't love it. I don't like, ooh, can't wait to get home, work out. No. If it was up to me, I would love to come home, can't wait to get home, and lay on my couch, watch my recorded TV shows, and do what I do. But however, physical fitness is something I don't love, but I like it. It because it's it produces a good outcome that can benefit you not now, but into the future. So physical fitness is something that I'm slowly developing so that way I can have a love and passion for it, so that way it becomes a routine in my life. That way, if I skip a day, the following day is extra harder. You know what I mean? But however, when it came to the physical fitness test, which was not hard at all, a mile and a half, how many push-ups you can do that is untimed, which is perfect, as well as how many sit-ups you can do within 1 minute, as well as a 300-meter sprint, which is, if you were to put this in perspective of a track, it's the straight, the curve, and one more straight. That's it. Now, myself, I did okay. I did good, but however, I didn't do great. By doing great, you have to do at least, at the minimum, at least 40 to 50 push-ups. That would get you a good 1 to 2 points. Now, to get you a perfect push-ups in that category is 71 push-ups. That'll get you a perfect 10 points in that category from there. Now, sit-ups. Oh, man, I did horrible. I've never been good at doing ab crunches or doing... I don't even know how I have a six-pack. It's not a huge six-pack, but I don't even know how I have. But, however, the six-pack, it's there. But, I did not do well at all. So, to get a good score on the sit-up portion, you need to do at least 38, I believe it's 30, I would say 40. I'm just going to go with 40. 38 or 40 sit-ups. Myself, I think I did like 25, 28. I was like, which gives you 0 points, unfortunately. So, let me explain the importance of those points, all right? So, with the 300-meter sprint, that 300-meter sprint, you have to do it for a perfect score. You do that within 40 seconds. That's a perfect 10 points. Now, I was sprinting. Oh, yeah. Boy's a sprinter. Hey, your boy can sprint. Hey, Usain Bolt, watch out. Nah. But anyway, your boy can sprint. I came in about 46 seconds, which is not bad. Gives me about 2 to 3 points. But however, I could have actually pushed out a little bit more, because if you really think about it, you do that straight away, that curve and that round. I was jogging a little bit on the straight away. So I was like, okay. And then I started picking it up a little bit halfway through the second curve. And at the very end, I was ghosted. I was getting it. But however, came in 46 seconds. That only gives you a couple points. And then the wonderful, the most lucrative, the most wonderful thing in the world, the mile and a half. Which, if you ask any Marine, a mile and a half, cakewalk. That's easy. That's just to the halfway point. Because in the Marine Corps, you run 3 miles. Here, you only run 1.5 miles. Which is easy, but you have to get yourself in that position. Myself, I haven't been consistently running. I run here and there, every once in a while, every couple months or something like that. But, yeah, I did not do well at all. So, to get a perfect score in that category, you have to come in at least 8:59, about 9 minutes, to get you a good little 9 points. I came in at 12:36. 12:36 is not a bad time at all. Mile and a half. However, that is not good, because that only gives you 1 point. Not even, I don't even think it actually gives you a point. It gives you 0. So it doesn't give you anything. Now, back to what I was saying about earlier about those different categories and how important it, car's acting up. Gives why it was important to have all of those different categories filled. Well, by having all of those different categories filled, those 4 categories, you must have at least 1 point in all 4 categories. At least 1 point. With a minimum of 12 points.
So that means that you have to score at least 2 to 3 points in every category in order to get that minimum score of 12 points in order to be able to move on to the next category inside the hiring process, which would be the polygraph, the background investigation, the medical examination, the drug test, as well as... as well as to be able to get your points from there. Now, myself, because I didn't do that in SIP, that automatically got me -2 points. So I already failed the test right off the jump. You know what I mean? That was one thing. And then number two, the push-ups. I only got like 38, which I needed to get at least 50. You know what I mean? Get you a good couple points, at least 50. But yeah, I was like, So that was one thing. And then the mile and a half, I only got like 1 or 2 points. You know what I mean? So that sucked. And then with the sprint, because I came in 6 minutes after the thing, that only gave me like 1 or 2 points. So total, I only got 3 points in the whole test. Yeah. So 3 points out of 12, so 9 points was still missing off the muscle jump. You know what I mean, bruh? So that being said, now that pushes me back into this category right here where I'm just having to train myself, you know what I mean? Need to start doing some more running, some more sprinting, push-ups every night, a couple times throughout the day, max sets, push-ups, as well as the sit-ups as well, and continue to go from there. So that way I can get myself in there. Now, by you not being successful during the physical fitness test, what happens is now you get to retake that test. By retaking the test, it gives you up to 90 days to be able to retake that test. And then you can be able to go from there. So that's where I'm at right now. I'm just going to have to retake it. So I took it in September. So my no later than date is December 1st. So as long as I can take the test before December 1st, I'm good. That's it. That's about it right now. So then I can be able to go through the hiring process from there. Bam. So my goal is I want to get at least 15, 16 points on the whole test. You know what I mean? If I can get a couple 10s, you know what I mean? That is perfect. And then like this, the push-ups is in within grasp, because I remember I had produced like 50 or something like that. The other night I had put out like 50 push-ups, and then so 21 more I can definitely get it in there. The sprint is something I definitely can get in there. I can get in there a good little hot 8-9 points, you know what I mean? So the run and a half, that is doable, definitely get you 8-9. If I can get like 9-10 minutes, that'll put me at 8 or 9 points. So that's 8-8, that's already 16. It's already 16 points from there. And then if I can get like 4 or 5 points on the sit-ups, you know what I mean? I can do it. Just gonna have to push yourself hardcore. I've been going hard Viagra. You know what I mean? So yeah, so as well as after the Marine Corps, I had did a private little security little thing with this little company called Allstate. Not a horrible company, just organizational wise and just camaraderie and all that stuff. It's just hard transitioning out of the military and then going from that. Now I can't speak horrible about those people, but it's not horrible. It's not wonderful. But I, you know what I mean, out of respect, I won't be disrespectful. But I just didn't like that atmosphere. So
My dad told me, hey, apply for this job with MTS, which is the Metropolitan Transit System for San Diego. Basically, there's the trolleys, the buses, and taxis as well throughout San Diego. So with that being said, I applied for them as well. They're pretty good. I applied for them as a code compliance inspector, which is AKA transit enforcement, the trolley cop or a trolley enforcer on the trains and on the buses. So as I applied for that job was wonderful. I started that in February of this year, 2019, and the job was great. You know what I mean? Only thing that was bad was this is where it comes back onto me. I had control completely of my destination, or my destiny as well, but hey, I had messed up. So where did I mess up at? Okay, let's start with the big things. The big things is our bread and butter on that thing is enforcing rules and regulation, penal codes, and everything that's going on while you're on that train and on the buses as well. So with that being said, if someone is in violation, whether they didn't pay their ticket, whether they got on, they were playing loud music, they were being loud and boisterous. Boisterous meaning, hey, being loud and extra loud, disturbing other people while on the train or on the buses. That's the kind of person you don't want on there. They're eating on the train. They're doing all kinds of different things, feces or urination or defecation, any of those kind of different things on the train, or doing drugs or anything. So with those things, your bread and butter is to be able to write tickets. Now, I wrote my tickets and everything from there, but however, this is where it gets a little crazy about the whole thing is one, when you're writing your tickets, you have to write the tickets from there, and you have to be able to accurately put the information down on there. So myself, I struggle sometimes with being able to write attention to detail, and sometimes I may miss a couple things from there. Don't get me wrong, I'm that kind of person who, if I made a mistake, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to try to fix it. I'm going to work my hardest. I have to try to continue to make those mistakes. However, they didn't like the fact that I was the high had the highest average when it came to writing tickets from there. Okay, I mean I'm a new inspector, so of course it comes with the territory, constantly learning. But however, they didn't like that it was a consistent basis every single month, so they placed me on a performance improvement plan, which got the PIP. So as well as I went hands on with a person who was smoking, which in their eyes, hey, you should not be going hands on, which I agree, you shouldn't go hands on. You shouldn't basically have to enforce force with somebody who is doing a quality of life violation. Quality of life violations are those different things that I mentioned, eating on the train, smoking, different things they're going to disturb the quality of life on that train or on that transit vehicle. So they didn't like that part that I went hands-on with somebody for that. Now, I was in my right. I was in the right correcting him. I was in the right by placing handcuffs on a person because he refused to provide an identification because he wasn't, in fact, in violation on what he was doing as well. But however, because of that, I got spoke to about that. As well as when I went hands-on with a person who was trespassing, we were had a proper stop and everything went well. Only thing that sucked is that on my chest I had a body camera and I didn't activate that. That kind of sucks. And then I activated it after the fact, but it's because it happened so fast and we didn't know that we were going to be stopped and the train stopped. I can go on and on about that story, but basically got to activate my body camera, but luckily my partner did activate hers. And let's see, I was late twice. That really did not sit well as well. So with that being said, they asked me to go ahead and resign from that position. So with that being said, fast forward from there, it kind of sucks that that happened, that I had to resign from that. So as from that, having to resign from there, I was able to take on my second job, which I'm currently doing now, which is private executive security. I do that as well, so that allows me to be able to protect people or protect property or protect a business and their employees from anyone who is potentially trying to threaten. But So it's giving me another avenue of teaching me something from there. It pays more. Only thing sucks is that it doesn't have benefits. And trying to think as well as something else. Well, and as well as I still do my Uber and a Lyft every once in a while. But with that being said, life is definitely not going how I wanted it, you know. I definitely was looking forward to doing all of these different avenues. Definitely was looking forward to doing the law enforcement. I haven't lost hope. I just recently took the San Diego, sorry, excuse me, San Diego Sheriff test, and surprisingly, I did not pass it. You know what makes me heartbroken about it? Not heartbroken, but just like, bum. Well, 42 is the actual total score that you have to get. I got 41.80. So that means that 0.20% of it. I just don't know. Man, I was heartbroken. Definitely sucked. I was like, wow. But hey, everything happens for a reason. You know? You win some, you lose some, but you win. You live to fight another day. So, hey, I'm not losing hope. I'm going to be retaking the San Diego police test as well next week as well. And continue to go from there. I'm just going to continue to apply for different law enforcements as well as also apply for the correctional facility as well. So, I'm not losing hope at all. I'm not gonna basically shun it. I'm not gonna steer away all because adversity has occurred in my life. You know, it's part of life. As life, things are not always gonna go your way. But however, your perseverance, your dedication, your commitment to adversity is what's gonna show your true character. It's gonna make the journey even better. You know, I was able to finish college as well. In March, got my bachelor's in criminal justice, everything from there, as well as be able to apply more for my veteran benefits as well, so that way I can be able to get more assistance with education as well, so that way I can further my education as well. I found different avenues as well for certifications, so that way I can get training for that. And let's see there. So yeah. I'm doing all the different things that I can to make myself more marketable. So I'm not gonna lose hope. I'm not gonna be all bummed out. I'm just gonna continue to sit here and fight on. So with everything that happens in life, everything happens for a reason. You know, they told me that in the Marine Corps as well. They told me that in life. And God puts things in your way, and thanks God puts things in your life for a reason. Maybe it's not my time right now to be able to go into law enforcement. Maybe I'm just gonna have to wait. Or maybe law enforcement is not what I'm destined to do. But however, I'm not going to lose hope. I'm going to continue to be dedicated and committed to it. So that way I can continue to persevere and do what I so desire. I mean, my dream is to become a Drug Enforcement Administration agent and everything. Stop the drug trade. Catch that Pablo Escobar, that El Chapo, you know what I mean? Hey, to be able to catch and stop drugs from occurring inside the community. That's something that I definitely look forward to. However, I have to be honest with myself. I just have to, one, study more, and I need to get myself in better physical fitness shape. Because if I do make it into this DEA and I do make it through the hiring process, I'm going to have to inevitably have to go to that academy, which is in Quantico, Virginia. Now, at that academy, I'm going to have to study hard. I'm going to have to make sure that I'm focused and do exactly what I have to do. I need to make sure I'm in top physical fitness shape so that way I don't have to struggle with that. I'm going to have to make sure that I'm sharp as well, taking plenty of notes, paying attention to every single attention to detail, making sure that I apply all of the fundamentals that I've learned so that way I'm the best agent that I can be. So that way when I get out there, hey, bam, you guys got the best product there. So, hey, I'm not gonna lose the hope. As well as, hey, with the Marine Corps as well, some of you guys know, some of you guys don't know, some of you guys were listening to my original podcast. Well, to update you on everything from there, from the Marine Corps aspect, I did get out honorably discharged from the Marine Corps. Got out honorably, which is wonderful. Did 11 wonderful years in the Marine Corps. Last year was woof, that was woof.
crazy, crazy. But I did one for 11 years. So, with that being said, I was discharged from the Marine Corps honorably, but however, on there, because I was denied reenlistment because I got in trouble while in the Marine Corps 2 years before I got out, they denied me reenlistment. So, by denying me reenlistment, they gave me a reentry code. These reentry codes, there's 1, 2, 3, and 4. One is like, hey, you're eligible to reenlist into any other branch. Two is, I think it's medically retirement. And then 3 is like, hey, retirement, like in general. And then 4 is, hey, you're not eligible to reenlist at all. So what they gave me is reentry code 4, which prevents me from joining any other branch of the armed forces. So to join, to transition over to the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, or the Coast Guard, to complete my last 9 years in the military, so that way I could be eligible for retirement at 20 years, I was not. So I was cut short on that. So with that being said, I've contacted a couple people over here in the civilian sector called the Veteran Legal Assistance Team. And what they're going to do is they're going to be able to help me out and complete this paper that I need to submit to the Board of Naval Corrections, which will allow them to be able to re-examine my case and be able to see whether or not they can change my reentry code. If found well, hey, they may be able to change my reentry code and I may be able to jump back into the military. If not, then hey, at least at least it didn't happen. But what's gonna make me feel comfortable is knowing that I tried to get back in the military and was not successful, as opposed to never have tried, never have known whether or not I was actually eligible to even get back in the military. So it's very hard, you know, because with medical and dental, it's not cheap. Unless you have it through an employer, which even through an employer, it's expensive as well. But unless you have it through those different avenues, it's expensive. I can say that. It is quite expensive. So that being said, you know, medical and dental is something that I look forward to trying to get while in the military as well. And even with the Marine Corps as well, I hope to be able to get my education benefits as well. You know, having used my GI Bill, I haven't used any of those different things. So I definitely want to be able to get that the educational assistance as well. You know, things were a lot better when I was in the military, but hey, everything happens for a reason. Maybe it was just meant for me not to be in the military. Like, hey, things popping off right now, I don't think you should be in it right now. So hey, everything happens for a reason. So with that being said, you know, I'm in a position now where things, you know, it hurts, you know, it's sad, it sucks, you know, like things that you worked hard for, you're like, wow, I'm doing great, and then all of a sudden it's just flipped on you, it's like, wow. So, you know, I'm trying to maintain my professionalism, my positivity, and hopefulness throughout adversity, because things are going to happen in your life. You're not always going to agree with it. You're not always going to like it. But things are going to happen in your life. But how you act, how you are, and how you carry yourself through adversity shows your true character. Because if you steer away, if you get all mad, you get all heartbroken and everything, all because adversity has occurred into your life, then that is your character. That's how you're going to be. But if you take that no as a yes, as a good, it's something that's amazing, you know? As I was listening to Joe Rogan podcast, he brought to my attention this Navy SEALs person who was in the Navy SEALs, and his name was Jocko. Jocko, what his full name is, I'm not too sure. But with Jocko, if you ever look onto YouTube and type in Jocko, and you type in good, it's a very motivational 2 to 3 minute video. But it gets to the point and it gets to the soul. It gets deep into what your mindset should be. Because if you think about it, when adversity happens, when things occur, when something didn't go planned, you didn't get the gear you wanted, you didn't get the promotion you want, you didn't pass this, you didn't pass that, you were told no, you didn't get the job you wanted, any of those things. What Jocko's quote is good. Good. Good, you didn't get the gear you want. Train harder with the gear you do have. Good, you didn't get the promotion. Train harder to get that promotion. Good, you didn't pass your physical fitness test. Good, more time for you to be able to train, get your body in a good physical fitness peak, so that way you can perform better the next time. Good, that you do not have the tools that you needed. Good, focus on the tools you do have and focus on getting the things that you do need, you know? And that has been my mindset. It's just, okay, good, good, good. Because it didn't go my way. It's not good. Don't get me wrong. It's not good. But, hey, you win some, you lose some. But you live. You live to fight another day. And good, it did not happen. Now you continue to plan and do something else to get yourself prepared for what you actually want to do. So that way you put your best foot forward and you present the best product. You know? And that's how my life has been, you know. It didn't go well, you know. It's like I was talking to my father, you know, and I was talking to him and I was like, you know, what a day, what a month, what a year. And he said, why do you say that? I'm just like, you know, to go from being told that, hey, you're no longer eligible for reenlistment, that you have to transition out of the military, hurt. Oh, it hurt so bad. I even cried on the last day I picked up my DD-214, which is your basically your release from the military. I even cried at it because I have a piece of paper in my hand, but it's like, what am I going to do? This is what I wanted to do, you know? Though I didn't, military is not what I chose. Military is not what I wanted to do. But it is what I liked to do, you know? It sucked at times. A lot of times it sucked. But however, military is something that I enjoyed because of the tangible things that you were able to take away from it. Free medical, free dental. Oh, I wouldn't say free. It gets taken out of your pay, but you don't see it. Free medical, free dental, a place to stay. You know, you had base housing where you could stay out of town. You had a constant, steady paycheck. You knew exactly from there. You had the opportunity to be able to get promoted. You had opportunity to be able to do additional training as well. You had so many different tools that you could be able to do. Don't get me wrong, these same avenues, these same tools and everything is available outside of the Marine Corps as well. But I just enjoy having that job security while in the Marine Corps as well, having those benefits. But I missed it, you know? And to go from getting out of the Marine Corps September 20th, 2018, to losing my job at the Metropolitan Transit System as a code compliance inspector, aka transit enforcement, to lose that job September 30th, 2019, an exact year later, I lose that job, and then to start another job, it's like, wow, and just to put things in my mind and my perspective, I'm just like, what a day, what a month, what a year it has been, because, wow, to be denied something and heartbroken there, to be heartbroken and denied something else again in another job, and to finally get the opportunity to do the job that you really wanted to do and not pass the physical fitness test, have your heart broken again, and then to basically be able to not have to scrum or basically not have the ability to be able to do what you got to do, and then now you're over here scrumming away trying to hurry up and get medical and dental coverage for your kids, and you're trying to do all of these different things, you're trying to take on these different trainings, you're trying to apply for all these different jobs, you're not getting them, and it's like, wow, how do you maintain positivity on all of this when you're just like, wow, is this life? Is this how it's going to be? Am I just set up to always have adversity brought towards me? You know what I mean? I always look around and look at other people's lives, and I'm like, wow, man, this person getting it, he getting promoted, he getting this, he getting that. He's just Mr. Yes. He's getting everything he wants. And I'm just like, maybe this is how my life is supposed to be, you know? Maybe I'm set up to go through a harder path to get to things, you know? Hey, I don't learn as fast as other people. Good. Just going to have to sit here and work 2 times harder. I don't get to run. I don't run as fast. I don't run as long as other people. Good. Time to get yourself in better physical fitness shape. You know what I mean? Hey, I didn't get the job I want. Even though he passed and he got it, he's already in the hiring process. And he already completed training. Good. You're going to have to reapply and keep going until you can get to that position. And I just feel like, damn, God's giving me a harder stick, you know what I mean, and telling me to climb up, climb to the top, and I'm over here still on the twigs. You over there got full-on branches. But, hey, everything happens for a reason in life, and you can't shun away or get mad all because adversity has occurred in your life. You know? And with that being said, hey, a lot has happened in my life. A lot has happened in this year, is a change of my life. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go ahead and end this podcast, but I'm just going to leave you with a couple of things right there. When adversity occurs in your life, you cannot shun away. You cannot get mad. You cannot get impatient. You cannot be unprofessional. That's not a word. You cannot be unprofessional. You cannot be rude. You cannot dislike anybody. The basic thing that you must do for yourself is look in the mirror. Look at yourself. What am I doing to make sure that I'm setting myself up for success in the future? Because as these adversities are occurring, oh, best believe your boy is doing some research. I'm like, okay, cool. Well, if I'm not getting a law enforcement job I want, hey, I'm looking into home improvement. I'm looking into home investment, Airbnbs, flipping homes, investing into real estate. I'm looking into those things. I'm looking into, hey, am I putting money to the side? Am I doing this? I'm putting money in my savings. Am I doing something so that way I can prepare myself and my future and my family for a financial bliss? I'm looking at houses. I'm looking at all of these different things so that way I can broaden myself. So that way when I finally do get that job I want, finally do get that money, that cash money, bula, you know what I mean? Yum, bula, baby. When it finally comes in, I'm in a good position where I can start making moves. I can, like, yes, that's what I need to do. Put my money here, invest it over here, drop this, pick up that, do what I got to do so that way I keep the ball rolling, so that way I put myself in a good position. So, ladies and gentlemen, I ask you to, hey, take a look, reanalyze, reengage, refocus your mind on other things so that way you prepare yourself for the future. Don't look at adversity as adversity. Look at adversity as an opportunity to be able to improve on yourself. Correct that deficiency that you were doing so that way you can be better in the future. Okay? So, I'll leave you with these two things. Everything happens for a reason. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. What a day, what a month, what a year. Adversity is an opportunity for correction and improvement. Ladies and gentlemen, have an outstanding Marine Corps day. Have an outstanding, beautiful day. For those who are listening today, happy Halloween. Hope you take this time to spend time with your family, improve your life, and you have a wonderful day.